Welcome to La Film Nation. Our podcast is about filming, business, and gear. On today's episode, we're going to discuss how to set goals for your business and what is a realistic aim. Let's get started. Welcome back. My name is Nigel, and I'm a videographer and filmmaker based in Japan. And John?
Hi, I'm John Bier. I'm a YouTube filmmaker. And William?
Hey, I'm William. I'm a photographer and videographer in Fukuoka, Japan.
All right, guys. All right, good stuff. So tonight, John is taking the lead on this one again. This is something he is very passionate about. And go ahead, John. Tell us what you're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, tonight we are continuing what we talked about on the last episode about just starting out and making money. So we figured today we're going to talk about the more business side of things, like setting realistic goals for your business. And straight up front, I mean, I mainly do YouTube, so I'll be talking about my YouTube goals and what I'm doing there. And William, you got your studio set up, right?
Yeah, I got my studio and I'm transitioning from like photography to including more videography work. So yeah, I'm doing that. And Nigel is an accomplished photographer, so.
Yeah.
I actually have a little home studio that I made myself with the paper and the table. And so I do YouTube and then do all my editing in here. So it's like a home studio sort of thing. So we're all a little bit different, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm, very cool. So we'll all give our different perspectives on realistic goals to set for your business. Awesome. And also just like tricks of how to break down your goal. So you set a realistic goal and then you realize how much work you need to put in to reach that goal. And I think that's very important. And that's something that I realized recently with YouTube as well. When I started really uploading regularly, it's just transitioning from uploading a video whenever I feel like it to actually having an action plan and like milestones that I'm aiming to reach. So I think the first, you know, the first thing would just be treat it like a full-time job almost, like you really got to work the thing.
One thing I heard is treat your YouTube channel like a business. The first thing I see is, you know, companies like, we got a YouTube channel. I'm like, great, let's go check it out. And you go there and they have no banner. It says channel art missing. They have a little mini avatar. And there's the one video from like 3 years ago. And this is like their company, you know, this is their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, treat your YouTube channel like a business. And
it should reflect like your own website or like your, you should make it proper. Yeah. But also like a business, it should not be just posting whatever you want, but answer a need for someone, for an audience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, that's okay if you want to do what you like and post art on YouTube, but don't expect to gain crazy following by just posting your stuff and nobody knows you. You know, you have to have some kind of value proposition and solve something for people, or at least entertain them, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I should just talk about this for a few minutes.
Yeah.
When starting out, I mean, I was just doing vlogs and it was like very random. Some of it would be like, oh, here's something you can do in Japan. Here's a place you can visit in Japan. And then a few of it would be like camera related things. But it wasn't until very recently that I decided to really like nail down on the camera gear and solo creator sort of niche. Like if you're a solo creator, how to make your videos better, what camera gear to use, what camera gear I would recommend, simple stuff like that. And really the thing that made me realize that this is what I had to do was when one video that I posted, that it was focusing on a very specific combination of things. It was the GH5 camera, the Viltrox speed booster adapter, and the Sigma lens. So those three things combined keywords, pretty much everybody searching for that specific combination would land on my video because of the specificity, if that's a real word, of that niche. And that video just started getting 200 views a week almost. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it adds up. And it's now at about 20,000. And that one video has also made me a lot of money with Amazon affiliate links. So sort of like it became very real to me that, okay, hey, this is a business. I'm selling a product. Let's push the product. Let's talk more about camera gear, talk about my experience using camera gear, and target these people that are looking to use the same gear that I'm using. So we touched upon how the YouTube needs to be treated as a business. And I think it goes also for a solo creator. Imagine you're starting a business for the first time. you're not going to make a lot of money back. You're not going to make a lot of profit for the first 6 months. I think that's like the average statistic. Like for the first 6 months, you're basically at a loss.
On YouTube. Well,
of course, depending on the business. Yeah.
Yeah. And
but I think the YouTube channel is basically the same. You know, you got to be pumping out
your business. Videos. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You treat it as a business. So basically, the mindset is you got to pump out videos for months and months and not expect any business returns. Yeah. And I realized this as well just through the experience of that one video popping off, because it popped off months after I uploaded it. So it took a long time. It was just waiting there, and then all of a sudden the algorithm picks it up, and then people start watching it.
Yeah, I think
so. Things take time.
William and I, we did a Sigma on the Jiwoon Crane gimbal.
So
it was the combo of the big lens with the gimbal, and can it handle it? And we did this long video. I think it's 25 minutes or something. It's just ridiculously long, and we struggled the whole time. And just had a check on it right now, and she's sitting at 6,200 views with 57 comments and 76 likes.
That's a lot of engagement.
85.4%
ratio between comments
of likes. So that's pretty good. Yeah, go ahead, John.
That's amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of
comments. So it's hyper specific, right? And it's engaging people.
Yeah. I mean, people want this information. That's what it all comes down to. And for me, probably some of the sales would be coming in from the Amazon affiliates like you. Some of the little things that we were putting on there to balance it and things like that, I'm seeing sales come in from that. So, that's part of the whole, you know, the whole cognate of the wheel, right? That's how this all works. So that's what we're here to discuss. So.
Yeah, if I'm looking at your YouTube, you look at the views on your gear reviews, and the views on something that's more like creative, that you kind of posted because you liked it, you made it, and you like it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a world of difference, right?
Yeah,
it is.
So there's nothing wrong with posting what you like to do. That's what I do most, actually. I also don't treat my YouTube like a business yet.
Yeah.
Because I decided that's not my focus yet. I focus more on working with clients, finding real clients, but I'd like to make YouTube, but I'm not driven enough onto that. But anyway, so yeah, I see the difference. The only video I made that is really for gear and gives knowledge in filmmaking is the one about interviews for the Blackmagic, and it made almost 2,000 views now compared to my other videos that are like 50. You know,
yeah.
I have a very, very, very small channel. So that's this one has basically 100-fold more views.
Yeah. But if you went hardcore and said, okay, I'm going to become a YouTuber, you could do the French aspect, you could do the English, you could start, you know, doing, you know, behind the scenes, you could go crazy if you wanted to. Yeah. I mean, if you just flick the switch, you could be doing a video twice
a
week.
It's just a matter of focus. So. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't need or want or actually can focus on that right now, but it was a good. It's good that you made the jump, John. I think it's a good opportunity because of COVID, like we said before.
I got all the free time right now, so I gotta.
So yeah, you better make the jump right now.
Nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
You know, the ones.
So going back onto track on realistic goals, I think you know, since you can't, YouTube is a little different from a business in that you're not as much in control of how much engagement you get for your content. So
I mean, what business you is kind of the same, you know. Business is the same. You make a lot of you try to publicize what you do, like tell people about your services, and you get clients or you don't. And sometimes it's down to luck. Sometimes it's down to a recommendation by a happy client who has a lot of reach. And it's the same thing for YouTube, you know.
I've posted videos and they've gotten found and got me work. That was a great paying job. So I mean, it was like, you know, he only found me because I'd posted it online, right? So I mean, John, one day somebody's going to see him doing a video about something, and all of a sudden somebody's going to, hey, I want that guy to do 10 gym videos, or I want him to, you know, whatever comes up, right? So one day you're going to get hit, right? So it's going to happen. So
I guess what I was trying to get into was more like, what are the aspects you can control?
Yeah.
Because it can be demoralizing sometimes to put out a video and get 50 views. And even though you put a lot of effort into that video and it's a really well-made video, you know, sometimes it just isn't something that people search for, or it's not shareable, whatever, you know. So what you can control, obviously, is first off the frequency of videos that you post. And then you can also control the sort of the topic, right? So you can be more smart about keywords. And that's why we mentioned gear right now, because gears, just having keywords, gears, just it's so powerful. It drives so much traffic. Yeah, and they're all people that are looking for like reviews or just like samples of this gear in use because they're already in a sort of buying position. They're already, you know, if what it takes to convince someone to buy, like, and it's a shape of a hill, they would be somewhere like up here at the top, or like at least climbing the top of the hill.
Yeah.
So you're getting all that traffic with your gear reviews and keywords.
Well, that's why unboxing is so popular now. Everyone's like unboxing of the Sony 6300. Yeah. He opens up a box and moves it around and says, "That's cool." And then the video ends and you're like, "That's it. That's all it is." No, that's it.
Unboxing, you know? Another fan, but for real, like nobody, like 10 years ago, it used to be that you would go online and find articles, like read about specifications, results, etc., to choose a product. Now you just watch videos. You don't read. Yeah. You don't want to read.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
video traffic is so huge now that I think, like, maybe the reason we spend so much time talking about YouTube is basically whatever business you are doing, you should focus on doing a YouTube as well.
Yeah, it's true.
But I cut you off a little bit there. Yeah. I guess.
No, so one other thing I wanted to add is, oftentimes when I'm looking for as a customer of YouTube is. You can get the spec sheets of the products online, like in the product page. So it's something that you can have. What you can't have sometimes is a specific functionality and how to combine it with some other product, for example. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to see in YouTube videos. Like, see, for example, can this lamp, can this light attach to this specific accessory, or can this button, how does this button work? How this is, you know, I don't have a specific example right now in mind, but oftentimes I'm like, can I do this with that item, or can I not?
Yeah.
Because it will be a yes or no. Will I buy it or not? If I can't do that, I don't want to buy it.
Yeah.
So focus, like you said, like you did with the Viltrox, focus on maybe something that, like, a combination of items that works well together.
Yeah.
And maybe people are asking themselves if it works together.
Today I just had to get a small rig magic arm. It's one of those little arms that you put. I saw yours last week and I was like, I got to get one of those.
Nice.
And the small rig one is all metal, but the Chinese ones are all plastic.
Yeah.
And the little thing that goes underneath the camera, it's plastic and it just breaks because you try to tie it on really tight.
Exactly.
And so I was like, I wonder if the small one's metal. The small rig version is metal. I'm like, it has to be metal. Small rig is always metal. So I found a video. You couldn't
find information about it, right?
And I couldn't find any information. It just says all metal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and I see this guy's YouTube video. He's like, I used to buy the janky Chinese versions, but look at the small rig one. It's all metal. And now I can just tie it on super tight. And I was like, thank you. That's really all I wanted to know. That's all I needed. And I actually watched the whole video and I made a comment, said thank you very much and yada, yada. But all I needed was a small piece of information. Is it plastic or metal underneath the part where he is twisted on? And sure enough, I got that information from a YouTube video today, actually. And I made the purchase 5 minutes later. I made the purchase. So that YouTuber actually triggered me to make that purchase. So instead of me emailing you, William, and asking you, I didn't bother you today. So
it's a good example.
I like that. I like that, the combination of things to create very effective keywords.
Yeah. Something that is not written on a spec sheet, right? And you can bring some more value, right?
So that's what you're in control with.
Yeah.
So going back to the original question, what is a goal to set for your business and what is a realistic
goal? So what's your goal? Maybe we should get...
Yeah, exactly. We're still on the topic of YouTube. I think we should move away from YouTube soon and let you guys talk for a while. But for my goal for YouTube, what really worked for me was to set an hourly goal for every day. So that's like a personal side, like how much energy I put into it. So that's the goal of just how much energy. And then... in terms of like analytic goals, I'm less in control of it. Like, I'm indirectly in control of it. It depends on how much energy I put into it in the first place. But I want to have 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year.
Okay.
And then that realization just puts the idea in my brain that, oh, okay, but I'm not going to get that very easily unless I really ramp up the energy that I put in. So with those two sort of like goals in check, they both feed off of each other. It's like, this is how much work I need to do.
Yeah.
So originally I thought it would be a video every other day, and it seems to mellow out at every other day now. Yeah. But when I first started, I was doing every day for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But now maybe one video every other day. And you'd be thinking like, that's a crazy amount of videos. And it is. But that's because I'm treating it as a full-time job.
Yeah.
And so as that's not something I would recommend to everyone.
Full-time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
my number one focus right now.
One video. So one thing that you said right here is you're thinking about how much time you want to allocate to it, right, in advance. And so do you have something like, oh, I want to make one video a day and I'm going to have to do this one video in, say, 5 hours tops, like from filming to editing to posting.
Yeah,
do you have something like this?
It's different. It depends, because some videos take longer, and sometimes I'll have like creative inspirations while making a video about how to edit it differently.
Yeah.
But I'll record 5 videos in a batch. So the process is I'll have to write 5 scripts, have the 5 scripts really nice looking, then record 5 videos in a batch. And then once that is done, I aim to make 1 video a day because I already have the recorded footage. And then, you know, I just need to go through my archives of footage for like example shots and all that stuff. So the editing... Yeah, it depends on how much extra additional stuff I need to do to the talking head. But obviously, I aim to do a lot of additional stuff because if it's just me talking on the camera, then it's not up to that standard that I demand of myself.
Yeah. So you want some B-roll
Exactly, yeah. But so the footage, one video can take, if it's the whole day, then it's, it's like 6-7 hours from when I have all the footage ready and I'm sitting down to edit.
Okay, it's, I see.
It seems to be the average for me.
Jeez, I wish I didn't have kids sometimes.
But that's a very
powerful... Do it while you're young, man. Do it while you're young, exactly. You know?
That's a powerful idea, though. Like, it's it relates to the video I sent you the other day, John, made by Nice Daily about work, like how work filled up that the time that you will allocate to it. So, like, if you say, I'm going to make a video a week... your week is going to take a video, your video is going to take a week to make. And if, if you say, I'm going to make one a day, like you have this deadline, you're going to spend less time obsessing over little details and stuff. And you're just going to be, bah, 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 I have to do it. Yeah. I do it. It's done. Next. You know, and that's
100%.
That's how I've experienced that. Able to be more productive, I guess. Because I've had that problem myself. I know, like, sometimes I set too, like, goals that are too big or unrealistic and too much, like, far in the future. And that's the recipe for disaster. That's the recipe for, like, not doing anything.
Yeah, you put it off until, you know, the very last minute.
Yeah, because
you then you just feel like shit about it.
Exactly, because you don't have, like, an actionable step towards that big goal. So saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to make one a day, it's going to be simple, like just 3-minute video, not too long, not too crazy, and that's good.
That's what works for me for now, at least.
Yeah. The micromanagement of your daily tasks of having to do a video a day. Levi Allen was saying he has an app on his phone. So let me rewind. He wakes up, has a coffee, pulls out a pad of paper and says, okay, I need to make a video today for you. And I need to go shopping and I have to do a gear review. So what he does is he allocates, okay, editing, I need 90 minutes. And then for the gear review to open the boxes, I might need 2 hours or something, or let's say 1 hour. And he just allocates everything, how much time he needs. And then he goes into his iPhone with his smartwatch or his, what do you call it, the smartphone watch or whatever. And he allocates 20-minute blocks. So if he needs 2 hours, he knows he needs, what is it, 3 blocks. So he puts 3 blocks in there, and then every 20 minutes he does his work, and then bing, it stops. He gets a 5-minute break, and then he goes on and he does the next break, the next block, and he keeps doing all of his work in blocks. And he said it works really well for editing, is just having this little ding, okay, you've done 20 minutes. And then he can, you know, take a quick, you know, breather, go to the toilet if he needs to, and all of a sudden, okay, come back, you know, start the new one. And he said he started doing that, and it works really good. He said other than that, for his smartwatch, that's all he uses it for, is that. That's it. But other than that,
pressure on you. Basically, you did something to put pressure on yourself. So you're setting up the
this
environment.
It's called the Pomodoro technique.
Ah, okay. Ooh. The what? The Pandora? Yeah.
Pomodoro.
Ah, Pomodoro. Okay.
Pomodoro.
Okay. Let's put that right on the screen right there. Pomodoro technique. Okay. We'll put that right there.
I really believe in that concept of creating the environment that will force you to act in a certain way. You can't like force yourself to act a certain way, so you have to create the environment first.
Yeah. That will then put pressure on you. He's doing this every day. He wakes up in his van and he sets up these blocks that he needs.
And writing up your schedule is the best way to do that, I think. Yeah, it's one of the best ways.
I want to add to that, like setting up your environment, but you also have to, I almost imagine myself to be two people. So like, if I'm the master John says, hey John, you're going to make a video today. And I'll be like, oh, I have to make a video? Then I have to give myself a promise. Like, yeah, you finish the video, then you get to play video games or you get to hang out.
Ah, and so good incentive.
For my daily energy, I aim to just stop at 5 p.m. Oh. And that sounds really early, but I have the whole day free because of the whole COVID situation. So, you know, from early morning to 5 p.m. is still a long work day, but you have all those nice hours in the evening to just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So that works really well for me.
And it's good. Yeah, it's good that you say in your schedule, like at 5, I want to do this. So I have to finish before 5, you know? Yeah.
And otherwise, there have been days. Yeah, there have been days where I work until 6 or 7 just to finish the video, just got to get it up, you know? But there have been a few days where I just decided, okay, I'll just have to finish up this video tomorrow morning and
you walk away,
give myself
it.
A little breather.
I can't do that. I obsess. I'm the guy who's up until 3 in the morning finishing it. I'm horrible. I'll start the video at 9 at night and I'll be like, done, 3 a.m., finished it. And then I'll wake up, you know, feed the kids, and then it's back to bed from 8 till 11. And then my day sort of, I got some bad cycles sometimes.
Well, if it works for you.
It works
for you and you're productive at least in a certain time of the day.
When you have kids at home and they fight, you need to be there, you know, doing, you know,
it's different.
Being the referee, right? Different. So it's a different thing. Nighttime, this house is quiet from 10 till 3 in the morning. So we have our different cycles, you know.
Definitely having deadlines and very short deadlines works. Works for me too, you know. I had this client, he wanted to do this promo video and it was supposed to be a project for like way off in the future, and suddenly it become, oh, I need it in 3 days. And so in one day
it
was
a blessing in disguise, I guess.
Yeah, it was really good because in the morning from 8 to 12 I went and shoot the video, so for 3 or 4 hours of shooting at their place. Then I come back to my studio and I'm just like, I'm going to do it today. I have 3 days to do it, but I'm going to do it today. I just sat there, pa, 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 5 hours, done. It's done here. Yeah. Here's your video, one day.
Done.
thanks, goodbye. Yeah. So because I knew also my week was going to be busy from other stuff. I wish I was able to be more productive like this, like all the time. And it's just a matter of setting up deadlines.
Yeah.
I guess for you it would just be getting more clients all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Maximize the number of jobs you get.
I fall always into that fallacy of thinking like, oh, I have this client lining up and this project. I'm going to be too busy. I don't have to look for new clients. And that's the most stupid thing ever, because those projects always, maybe they get delayed or maybe they don't give you that busy, you know? So you can always take on more work. It's okay. Don't fall into the fallacy.
Actually, what you just said, you can always take on more work.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you gradually ramp up how much you're able to do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we all have a very limited understanding of how much work we can actually do.
Mm.
And it's not until you start setting goals and, you know, pushing yourself, like grabbing more and more work that you realize, I can actually do it. Because like, just look at Nigel. You have a family and kids and all that, and still you're doing a lot of the same stuff that we're doing, and sometimes more, and you still manage to keep it up. So like, just having that added load on your back just means you get stronger, you know. You just have to do more. That's a difficult balance to find when you're working on your own, but I guess that's basically the crux of what we're talking about. Just find a way to put that pressure on yourself.
Yes, that reminds me of my graphic design teacher back in the day. This guy had he has a family of three kids. He had a full-time job as a graphic designer, like many clients all the time, and he was teaching at our school. Maybe at least 20 hours a week at the school, plus all the graphic design work. He said he did in general maybe 80 hours a week.
Yeah, that's insane.
Usually. Just work. And he says you know, some people do 40 hours a week and they say they don't have time. Like if you say, oh, can you do that on top? They say, I don't have time to do that. I'm already busy. You know, mm-hmm. when I already do 80 hours a week, if you say, mm-hmm. oh, this project is going to take 10 more hours, it's like, yeah, it's just plus 10% work. What is it? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's thinking like, yeah. For someone who does 40 hours a week, is plus 25% of work.
Yeah.
In his case, just
plus when you're that type 10. Of person, you're also using your time more efficiently.
Yeah. And so the more you're productive, the more you can actually make. Even you
also
can
your skill set goes up too. The more you work,
and you
with
work faster.
You work faster. You get better at what you do. You know how to organize your footage. I mean, that's the first thing. Yeah. You know, for getting sure, all that footage and knowing how to. I was just looking up that right now, and that was the first thing is. Editing comes down to organization. That's the first step one is organized. And if you're not organized, your work week is going to be hell, right? So especially when you have 3-4 cameras rolling at the same time. So,
Well, we've talked about like visualizing your goals before, briefly, but I guess I'll touch upon that as well. Part of my realization of how much energy I want to put into this was basically me. I asked myself, like, what would I be like if I put 10 hours a day into YouTube? What would be the result after 6 months? And then you imagine that, and it seems like a very desirable result, and it's like, wow, okay. And that doesn't sound like a lot, because what am I doing with these 10 hours a day now anyway? Oh, I'm browsing Reddit or whatever. Like it's time that's forgotten, and it's not going to have any lasting impact on your life. Because I always like to say, anything you do on the internet, it doesn't create novel memories in your brain. It's all just sort of like a garbled mess that sort of your brain just poops out. But like if you go on a trip or you go visit someone or you meet someone, that's something you remember that sticks in your brain. So you gotta, you know, you gotta just minimize a little bit of all the shit you do online. Sorry about the cussing.
No, but it's true. It's true. I agree. And
it doesn't.
I tend to have this theory that if I'm on the computer, I'm working. Like, it's all business. Yeah, granted, I do look at YouTube and I study up on, you know, something Williams recommended about watching an editing video. But I'm watching an editing video and I'm watching about how to edit, right? Okay. So it's cool, right?
That's okay.
But if I'm doing the Facebook scroll thing and I'm doing that, that thing, you know, the scroll, I'll say, what am I doing? And I'll just go X and then I'll just kill it.
That's
and
good.
All of a sudden my browser up top is just like, dun, 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 dun. It's exactly what I have to do. So don't get stuck in that Facebook scroll thing that we all get, get onto and stuff. But
For sure.
Instagram is my poison. And I've managed to really minimize that. I deleted the app for 2 weeks. And then when I installed it back, the habit was gone.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to reel it back in. So if anybody's struggling with that, just go cold, I would say.
A guy I know from, he went to Oida University. He lives very close to us. He went off social media for 1 month. He just said, done, deleted. And he just came back a couple of days ago. And he was just saying how great it was to be away from social media for a whole entire month. He took it all off. I know people who do it. So.
And then when you come back, you're stronger. I mean, in that sense, like you're able to just control it more. And so you can use the good side of it without falling victim to the bad side of it.
Exactly.
For sure.
So what are you,
can we go back on what you said about like, you said like, oh, you want to invest like say 10 hours a day in YouTube and you want to make one video a day. So, and visualize what's going to happen in 6 months.
Yeah, so just ask yourself what would happen.
I would even put like numbers of that. I would say like, okay, so you put one video a day, that's going to be like what? 100 video in 6 months? 150 maybe?
Yeah.
150 video in 6 months, that's crazy. And then you see, what if I make this much money per video on affiliate links? What's going to happen in 6 months, you know?
It really helps you visualize your goal and also make it seem desirable.
Yeah.
Like it really makes you just go, oh shit, so, I want to do this.
And you see the impact of that. It's kind of like the reverse effect of saying like, oh, I smoke this many cigarettes a day. And in a year, how much does it cost, you know?
Yeah.
You have to make that calculus. And
I would say absolutely.
Yeah.
Like create the desired outcome, but also realize the desired undesired outcome, which in my case, I guess I'll share a little bit personal, but the company that I'm currently employed at, they're very busy firing people right now. They're firing every day, so many people, and there's a possibility every other day that I'm going to get a letter. And the undesired outcome is that I would get fired and then have nothing else and then have to find myself in a new job that I don't enjoy. So, like, yeah, that's undesired, right? But my desired outcome is just to be sort of my own boss, that I never have to have this anxiety of, like, the hand that's feeding me suddenly slapping me. Because, like, that's what happens when you're at a company. That can happen.
Yeah.
And you're so tied to this invisible hand that's, like, hovering in front of you. So, you know, having experienced firsthand and seeing my friends getting laid off, it's hardcore. I mean...
These are hard times. I want to get away from this. Nobody wants to get fired right now. It's not a good time.
For sure. No, and it's,
Even my wife, her company is having some issues and they're asking her to work from home and stuff. And I can't really reveal it all, but maybe one day her company might dissolve. We don't know. But at her current age, it wouldn't be very good for her to be out looking for work at her age. Mm. So we're just saying, well, maybe you have to become a full-time secretary for me and you could be my assistant, you know? So that's actually one thing we were talking about. I don't know if I'm going to work with my wife all the time, but if she was a secretary and doing the finances and doing the bookkeeping, hey, I'm cool with that. You know, maybe doing some file transferring, you know, get the SDs and she could do that. That'd be great. Organize the footage for me. She could do those little things. That would be fantastic, right?
That is actually really important because, like, here, if you manage to drive enough success, you can bring success to people around you as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can include that into your desired vision as well. Just imagine like how much everyone else benefits from me not wasting my time.
Yeah. So, well, it's good to be more organized, right? I mean, God, you know, having a secretary and an accountant and all of a sudden, you know, you got to really do a good job, man, you know? Yeah.
Because she's gonna be watching you, like she's gonna know all the dirt, you know. Like,
what are you doing? Are you working? Are you on YouTube? Right? Which one you doing? Yeah, you got a job to do, right? You got to be there at 5 o'clock today filming. So
I'm guessing that the reason why we're fairly consistent with this podcast is because there's three of us in it. If there was just one of us doing it would be easier to lay it off.
Yeah. Today I was struggling, man. I had to get the car fixed. I had to make dinner, go shopping, and I was 15 minutes late and I rushed up here and I got everything all set up. And if you guys weren't here, I would not be doing this podcast right now. Sure. You know? Yeah. Dinner's in the oven right now, thanks to that. Thanks to me. I got dinner in the oven tonight. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Mm. So team up, find people.
Yeah, for sure. You guys pushed me to get here tonight. So awesome. We've been doing a lot of John tonight. I mean, it's the John show tonight,
Just talking about the old YouTube goals. Good. I guess we will just rebrand the episode name to like how to set realistic goals for YouTube as maybe, a solo creator.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe,
On the topic of goals too, like so you say if you want to set up goals, for example, to calculate the amount of work that you need to do every day, basically. And I've been doing this also for a very long time, not for YouTube, but for how to price myself. And that's maybe a question that a lot of people are interested in when you start freelancing for photography, for videography or anything. You need to price yourself. It's always very difficult at the beginning. So what I did was I tried to think of how much money I need to make per year. Like, what's the cost of living for me? How much money do I actually need? Plus a little bonus, you know, like you don't want to be like struggling. So try to think of how much you want to make per year and then break it down per how much work can you do per day or how many days do we work per week or per month. And so that if you just do this simple division up until the hour, you're going to get some kind of hourly rate. And so you have to include everything in that year. You have to include your taxes, your food, your lodging, your equipment, anything, and everything. And then you can find some kind of hourly rate. And if that hourly rate is a little crazy, for example, if it sounds a little high, maybe that's okay. But that means you have to provide a very good service for that. You have to, that will also tell you how you need to market yourself. Are you going to be someone that's cheap and you want to work for many, many, many clients, you know? So how do you market yourself? Yeah. Do you do cheap for a lot of clients or do you try to find small clients, a smaller number of clients and more expensive, more premium and provide a better service? You know, that's how you price yourself. So
that's really solid advice.
Yep.
You could even break it down by like the month, right? So, okay, mm-hmm. 1 year I want to make this, and then by month, and then by week. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. You could break, like micro break it down.
And
right?
so mm-hmm. I've
when you're starting out, maybe you'll do a lot of cheap clients. Exactly. And then as you get more developed, exactly. you can go for fewer mm-hmm. higher ticket clients.
And that makes sense because also your expenses go up and everything. So I used to be, when I came to Japan, I was a student and I did some freelancing on the side. And so my hourly rate was pretty low, but that was okay. I didn't have that many expenses. And mm-hmm. but now that I have set up my own company, I have set up a studio, that's a lot of investment, a lot of overhead every month. Actually, not that much, but you know, you have this and you have equipment. And
you might end up having a family in the future
as
well.
So I have to think about this too. So obviously I have had to pump up my rates, my hourly rates, or my even now I'm thinking daily now. I'm just not thinking hourly all
because
it doesn't make sense for me. It's like I've also come to this realization that even if a client wants me for 2 hours, it's gonna be hours of preparation and talking and all that kind of stuff, and that takes time. Mm-hmm. That's time that I can't spend on another client, so I have to charge half day, full day. That kind of stuff.
Tokyo guys don't do half day. I was on the Facebook page there, mm-hmm. and they said they don't. There's no such thing as a half day in Tokyo.
Wow.
Because
it takes an hour to
travel.
Yeah, travel. You get to it. It's 2 hours of filming. It's 30. You know, I don't need to do all the math, but
he
says by the time you get home, it's 5 o'clock. So he's like, we just got rid of the half day. You want me for the day? It's this price, right? So, yeah, just maybe we should stop saying half days because honestly, there's no such thing as a half day anymore. Because
I'm inclined to agree.
Yeah. Out there, we're too pro now, right? It's like, I don't just bring a janky light and a janky camera, right?
So, exactly.
I would also say, building on what William has been talking about, once you set your hourly rates, you also know how much like money you're wasting when you're wasting your time, your own time.
Yep.
So that really pushes you to, use your time.
Because that makes me think if I want to reach my yearly goal, I need to make this much money today. Like every day I need to make this much money.
Are you out on the street?
If I'm not making this much money every day, I'm wasting my time. I should be making money. That's the mindset that you... It's not jumping from invoice to invoice. It's like, am I making money today or not?
Yeah.
You know? So, but it's hard.
Yeah, for sure. And is it a realistic game, right? That you have to think, you know, can I actually make this kind of money per year, right?
So, yeah, well, at least you have this bench. I mean, it doesn't have to be real. It's not realistic. It's a goal, you know.
Yeah.
It's not reality right now. Like you say, oh, let's say I want to make $200,000 a year. You're like, I'm not making it right now, but that's my goal. So try every time.
So you should price yourself.
Yeah, you should price yourself for that goal and
for your goal.
Every time you work with a new client and you do a new project, you're like, oh, am I getting closer to that goal or am I getting further? Like, did I actually kind of reach that goal at least today? At least today, did I make the daily rate, you know, that I set up for myself? Yes. Oh, that's good. That's a good day, you know. Oh, that's a good project. This project I was paid really well and consistently with what I want to make. That's good. Oh, this one, not so much because I needed too much more. I had to do more work than I intended to, and I didn't charge enough. You know. So every time you kind of like, at least you have a guideline. You know, that's really important to have that.
And then you know which clients to keep and which clients to really get rid of.
That's a really good point too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Good stuff. All right. I think that's pretty good. So realistic aim, trying to summarize these things. Set a personal goal for yourself. How many hours are you willing to put in every day to reach it? Yeah. And if you have a full-time job, you know, you might only be able to get in 3 hours and maybe that's fine for now. Mm. So just whatever it is, set it and then aim to do it. And also be kind to yourself. Like, give yourself some slack when you don't reach it. And also give yourself a little bit of time every day just to unwind.
Yeah, that too, of course.
Have that, have that hourly, desired hourly rate and then aim for that single-handedly. Mm. I think that's what William has been talking about. It's super important. And then you realize how much time or money you're wasting when you're just doing nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, does that sound like a good summary to you guys?
Oh, by the way, I'm going to charge you a half day for this podcast because I'm wasting time here, guys.
I could be making money right now.
I could
now.
Be making money.
Just wrap it up. I got to make a YouTube video.
John's got to go right now. Yeah. I got dinner in the oven. So.
Yeah, all right, good sure. stuff. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you guys for making the time to come here today. Awesome. We're all really quite busy today.
Yeah. It was still, a tough we made one today, it. But we got it. We made it. So next week, we're going to be looking at videography talent stacking. And it's going to be a good one.
That's
so,
a really important topic. All the skills that you need to grab on top of videography, right?
And also all the ones that would complement your videography.
Exactly.
That might not be very obvious as well.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. That's really cool. Mm.
If you appreciate what we do here on the podcast, we would love it if you could share with your friends on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any other social media outlets. And finally, you can find all this information on www.lafilmnation.com. All right, guys, that's it for us today. So as always, peace.
Peace.
Later.